Welcome to Financial Wellness at Work, the only podcast devoted to sharing the stories of everyday employees who have transformed their financial lives by giving financial coaching a try.
Welcome to Financial Wellness at Work. I'm your host, Liz Davidson, and I have with me Julie Everett, who is a financial coach from Financial Finesse. She's appeared on previous episodes. So welcome back, Julie.
Thanks for having me.
And I also have Sarah Caney, who worked with Julie. And really, you know, I think one of the coolest things about your story, Sarah, is how you really just took control and got yourself to a much better place by virtue of your proactivity and really leaning in and owning it. So Sarah, if you could share a little bit about your background and what led you to start the coaching process, let's kick it off.
Yeah, no, definitely. Thank you so much. So yes, I had a very unfortunate story. Right after my wedding, a few weeks later, my late husband was diagnosed with colon cancer and 3 months to live. And it was, it completely shook up my world. You know, we were trying to get pregnant at the time and I was a rising star at Facebook. He was growing his film company. Everything seemed perfect. And then, you know, this huge cancer ordeal kind of came into our lives. And so we were on the cancer battle for 3.5 years. And I was his primary caregiver. And, you know, obviously most of my free time kind of went to just trying to extend his life as much as we could. And we were filming the experience also for a documentary called Cure for Cancer, working with a variety of the leading experts across integrative health to extend his life. And huge learning opportunity for me. I've learned a ton about health. Facebook was my employer and the benefits were incredible. And my friend Renee Albert, who runs, she's a leader in the on the benefits side, she had taken me under her wing and kind of educated me just on the medical system and how to leverage our benefits. I wrote a few posts internally within Workplace on, you know, how amazing Facebook was for me. And like, you know, just the variety of benefits was amazing. Like I didn't really even, I had no experience before. I'd ever gone through cancer or knew anyone that had been severely sick or anything. So yeah, it was a really challenging experience. And so when we were going through everything, I was in such a state of like, you know, just moving fast, trying to get my work done and then trying to also caregive and stay on top of all the leading research across integrative health. So I really didn't have time to budget or think about money or anything. We were just like, how do we extend his life?
Yeah.
And he kind of had access to all of our financials and it ended up being like just really messy. And so after he ended up dying 2 years ago, you know, I had taken off some time around that period just to kind of get through everything. But afterwards, I was like, okay, like I need to pick myself back up. Like this is, you know, I need to move forward. I'm a widow now. You know, I need to get my self-identity back. I need to grab a hold of my finances and just understand where I'm at. Like, what was the financial implication of this like horrendous 3.5 years experience? And like, you know, how can I do a better job, you know, moving forward now with budgeting and just understanding how to save, how to invest? I just didn't know. I was clueless. And Renee had shared with me the program that you guys offer. And that's how I met Julie. And Julie like literally just pulled me out of, I was just a complete mess. Like I just had no idea. I was like, I don't know where my
where to start.
Like how do I, you know, should I be selling some of these off? Which lots, which this, it was all just very overwhelming and confusing. And so that's when Julie came in and she was able to really help me decipher between like the benefits and things that we have available and the different platforms and whatnot. And then like how to just manage everything. And she was an absolute godsend. I'm so grateful. And yeah, like we created a budget together and we went through different scenarios of if I did buy a house and what that would look like and how that type of investment may potentially, you know, impact my retirement. I feel like I had a lot of pressure from people being like, you know, you're 38, you're a widow, you're single, you know, you need to buy a house to have this like strong investment. And I didn't understand why I was receiving all of that pressure to purchase when I didn't feel like I was ready to kind of make that type of commitment. And so, yeah, Julie was able to kind of walk me through all of that and just understand again, like the different options and then made me realize that like, I don't need to buy right now. Like there's plenty of opportunities in the future and, you know, I can kind of save focus on building out my nest first before really jumping into something. And it was just insanely helpful. And it really kept me at Meta, you know, like after he died, just because it allowed me the benefits. And this one in particular allowed me, it gave me emotional release so I could actually do my job.
Got it. So it sounds like between the health benefit and then the financial, you know, you had through your employer, like two really, really, really important resources, like right at the time where you really needed them and life-changing.
Yeah. And like, you know, I hear a lot of, and it was just amazing having you guys as a resource because it was someone that I knew I could trust. Like I know like with money, it's like really hard to kind of navigate advisors and whatnot. Like not knowing who exactly to give your money to and whatnot. And like the fact that Financial Finesse was, you know, backed by Facebook and like, you know, it also, I was able to share, like have like different, like I could share some of the, you know, like the different vocabulary around our RSUs and whatnot. And like Julie had experience in working with other Facebookers with like the same kind of, you know, stock options and whatnot. It was, yeah, it was extremely helpful.
So it sounds like you got a lot of help with benefits and understanding the best thing to do there. But there's something really interesting you said in this pressure to buy a home. I was talking to Julie earlier about that. And it's so true. I think, you know, back when interest rates feels like ages ago, but it, you know, wasn't, were much lower. It was this thought, okay, they're going to increase. You have to do it now. And it's so much better to buy than to rent. But everyone's situation is personal. There are almost no universal rules in finance. And sometimes the decisions you don't make, and this may be true in your case, and I'd love to get Julie's thoughts on this. Sometimes the decisions you don't make can be as powerful as the ones you do.
Yes, I love that.
Which is so fascinating. Julie, yeah, share a little bit more about that dynamic.
Yeah. So, you know, over this period of time, and I don't know how long it's been well over a year, year and a half, something like that. So not only did I meet with Sarah, there were times that I also would, her mom would be on there too. And it's funny. I think, have you been,
that's
hanging,
awesome.
Out
with, that's
have you been
it.
Hanging out with your mom lately a lot, Sarah, because your accent is definitely taking that tilt.
This benefit is, I mean, you should involve family members if it makes sense to, you know, so I'm glad you did that.
Well, that was,
yeah. So
have like her, you know, because I think she was also like, she, like kind of pressuring me to buy as well. And then, you know, it wasn't the right decision, but it was helpful having her kind of with me through that.
Every time something would present itself, the house being one of those things, we would just go back to the numbers and just say, okay, if we buy this house, this is how the budget would change. This is how, you know, the assets that you have would change. You know what? Yeah, you know, I know Sarah referenced, you know, not feeling sure about her picture in the beginning. From the very beginning, looking at the numbers from a planner eye, you looked great. Like the numbers were there. That doesn't mean you felt good about it, but I wanted you to maintain that platform because it was such a strong, strong base where you were starting. So when a house would present itself or the idea of a house would present itself, we would just take it back to the numbers. We would take it back to that retirement estimator. We would take it back to the budget and just say, you know, how easy is it going to be with this house or with this investment opportunity to still get where you want to be? And then I think that that was ultimately like what kept sending us back to the drawing board was it was just, you know, because you didn't want to be in a spot that was uncomfortable. Life was uncomfortable enough. Like we didn't want to like make the money part uncomfortable because up to that point it had been flowing really well.
Exactly. Yeah. And that was part of it too, was I wanted to have enough budget to also rebuild a new life. You know, I moved after my husband moved back to Texas and had to start over again, you know, like a new life through COVID. And so I didn't want to have like a big chunk of my monthly income going towards a big investment where like I couldn't have as much money to spend time going out and socializing and meeting new people. Cause I knew that at that moment in my life, like that was extremely important.
It sounds like the freedom was ultimately more important than anything.
Yeah.
And maybe that's what it came back to is if I don't make this investment, I'm going to have more ability to do things that I want to do when I want to do them and not feel constrained or stressed.
Exactly. That was exactly it. And like, that was the thing is, it was just that time period of like becoming a, you know, a widow and like what that means and like processing that. Yeah. Like I didn't, what ended up being the best decision was not purchasing and like just holding out and just waiting and like, you know, I can buy in the future, whatnot. But like at this moment in time or at that moment in time, it wasn't the right timing.
So how long did you guys work together? Are you still working together, you and Julie?
Like a year and a half, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So talk to me about how you've changed through the process. I mean, financially, but, you know, kind of lessons you've taken and how your life has evolved.
Yeah. So it's been interesting. So when my late husband passed, there was some drama with his family and I ended up, there was like a trust situation and like all of these films that I acquired from him. And I was in a position where I thought I was going to be completely broke at one point. I thought I was going to be owing all these people in the film industry.
Oh my gosh.
And so when he died, and so I was just like, it was horrifying. And so to kind of go from that to like build, to like really working with Julie to build my confidence up around like, okay, like I do have money. I have, this is what my RSUs mean. This is what, you know, my 401k looks like. These are the different options for the 401k. Like I am making, because I had just kind of jumped into the whatever the standard is at Facebook. I had never ever spent time kind of really understanding the different options. And so I was confused because I just didn't know what I didn't know. And so like spending the time with Julie, I was able to just really have a solid understanding of where I'm at. And like, it saved me. I swear to God, it helped me so much. So, 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 so much.
So it sounds like you got good news that you were a better situation than you thought and you had more resources. And so you didn't need to be worried. You didn't know that until you began the process. So, and then it sounds like you worked through the not buying a home. What are you guys working on now? What are you looking, you know, forward to as your next steps in this?
Yeah. So, you know, going back to leveraging the resources and identifying those resources, that was another thing that if I could say it to other people, like widespread, know your resources, know what you have available. Sarah was really good about identifying a resource that was available to her. And she never just kind of handed the topic over. I mean, you stayed a partner. I wouldn't even say a participant. You stayed a partner in every single process, whether it was, you know, the tax loss harvesting, whether it was, you know, making the investment decisions with the financial coaching. You were a partner within all of that. And we Zoom primarily. That's how we would do our conversations, was via Zoom. And I could see her screen share and take these notes, like immaculate notes. Like they're incredible. Like we're going to be able to bring her
through the Facebook hiring process. I mean, you know,
but you know, there were different things. We are entering a very different phase in the stock market. And I don't know how you feel, Sarah, but like, aren't you so glad entering this phase of the stock market? It's easy to feel like a genius and like you have your life together whenever the S&P is giving you 15%+. But, you know, through our conversation, Sarah actually, you know, came to the decision of, yeah, I can do this, but I don't want to do this. You know, I want to bring in a professional. She got a referral from, I think it was a mentor maybe, but, you know, I am just so glad that you are using a resource like that, especially given, you know, this bear market that we've entered, because I can't imagine if we were still carrying all of this different weight around with us. And so, you know, identifying that that's a potential resource and using that, because like I said, everybody felt like a genius whenever the market was going up. And so I'm glad you already have the mechanisms in place to weather whatever storm we may be in or whatever we may go into.
100%. And that's how I feel. Like I feel much more prepared now and more confident in myself. And you know, that allows me to do my job on a day-to-day basis. Like it relieves some of that anxiety that can impact work, right? I think this is such an incredible benefit for employers to give to their employees. Like it helps you. For me, I was like, you know, Facebook cares about me. Like they care about me enough where they're providing this incredible financial support so I can do my job better. Like it's amazing.
Yeah. I mean, we call it kind of a signal, and it's not just financial wellness, but what they did on the health side, right?
Yeah.
You know, when you look at employers, I think you can tell a lot about them by what they're doing in terms of employee training and development, as well as well-being, because that is a big statement to make, I think. So what advice do you have for anyone that might be going through, I mean, what you've been through, I can't even wrap my head around that finding out right after Mary, and then the journey of trying to and being his caregiver and everything else. But in, you know, we have people that are going through all sorts of different challenges and stressors, and it feels so dark, right? And hopeless. So what would you say to anyone, you know, whether it's similar situation to you or something that's completely different, but also, you know, just all consuming?
I think one of the things that was most beneficial for me, what Julie shared with me, was just the importance of having a budget and being mindful on spending. I think it's hard when you're in a dark place and you're going through depression or something, you know, extremely, extremely challenging. It's just, you know, thinking about your financial well-being and like what that means and like, you know, having that stability and just being, I think, mindful of how you spend your money is a really good way to kind of get through those difficult times.
So did it make you feel, it made you feel kind of more in control?
More in control, yeah.
And that that reduced your stress in and of itself. It's like, I know where I'm at. I have a mechanism to track things. I'm not
just
in a swirl of like, what's going on? Do I owe money? You know, that's interesting because we always talk about, you know, it's the dirty B word, budget, right? For a lot of people, because they think of deprivation and they think of this boring process of having to track things. But if you kind of flip your mentality to, it's a form of taking control of your money.
100%. Yeah.
And making sure it works for you instead of against you, then it's, you know, it's an incredible tool.
I think also, you know, it was Julie really helped me to go through my finances and like everything I was spending each and really like identify where I was wasting money. Like, there's like little things like getting coffee versus making it at home or like eating out all the time. Like, wow, like I didn't realize how much I'm spending on, you know, some of these like social activities, for example. I was able to kind of go in and like analyze how I was spending money and be like, does this make sense for like what I'm getting out of this experience? So like, you know, at this point in time, like, you know, if I want to be saving, I probably should be cutting on this certain thing. But again, it ties back to that having it's just a sense of control through like a really chaotic situation.
You know, and you know what's interesting, and I would ask you this, those things you cut, did they end up actually improving your quality of life or at least not, you know, reduce? I mean, there's two scenarios. One, you can cut and it can be painful and you feel like, okay, this is a lifestyle hit and I'm not enjoying life as much. One's kind of neutral. And then one, you know, I think sometimes you can cut things and then be really glad that you're eating at home or, you know what I mean? That you're not doing certain things that weren't necessarily serving you anyway or aligned with your values and what you care about most. So I don't know which bucket it fell into for you, but that's always interesting to me.
Oh, 100%. And like, that's the thing is I just realized, I was like, you know, I'm going out for like a nice dinner. It's like $200. I'm like, that is not like, that could be like a gym membership for a month or like that could, you know, what the other thing that I actually got into this last year was I made 3 different angel investments. And so
women, very cool.
Yeah, just like I put like little portions, like 5,000, but it was a really cool experience. And I got to put them into companies that I really believed in of like with some female leader friends. And I was like, you know, instead of spending, you know, $200 once a week going out to eat, I'd rather spend that money and invest in a friend who has, you know, a company that I want to support and like be, you know, really encouraging my friend and the other women to be entrepreneurial. And it was just a better use of spending.
Oh my God. That is incredible. Like, cause you think 200 a week and you go, okay, you know, that's, you said 200 a week or 200 a month?
200. Yeah. I was spending like 200 a week.
But, that can do with these angel investments, I mean, like, my God, that's like,
yeah. And so I was like,
so instead of consuming, you're investing and you're furthering something that you care deeply about. And I'm sure it's fun to just, I mean, hopefully these investments turn out great, but I'm sure the process of knowing you're helping these women and you believe in what they're doing and you get to be along for the journey is.
Yeah. Oh, and that's like so much more fulfilling to me. And like, that's, she taught me to just completely, like, I just never really thought about spending before. And like my husband, you know, as soon as we started dating, he just took control of all of our finances. I had no access to anything. And, you know, I was just kind of going along the ride and just trying to get through. Yeah. I just think like, I have a different mentality and like everything, every dollar I spend, what is this going towards? Is this an investment or is this something that is aligned with my values? You know, how to, because you vote with your money and like how you spend your money. And it's like, I just, have to learn to be more mindful. And I think moving forward now, even like with dating or like any future relationships or whatnot, I'm just in a completely different space than when I was in my first marriage, where I just let my husband kind of run everything. And I think a lot of women, you know, I'm a very young widow, but I went to all the different widow kind of like support groups and everything after he passed. And many widows are in horrible states afterwards. They don't have jobs. They don't have something that they can jump into right away. And, you know, sometimes we fall into this old idea of like, you know, marriage and like the man comes and rescues you. And like now I'm a much more evolved place where I'm like, you know, I'm my own person. And moving forward, I want to have complete control of my own finances.
Yeah. And I think it's, you know, it's funny because it's like, I've heard people, both men and women, say, well, that's not, you know, that's unromantic. And I'm like, no, it's empowering.
It is.
You're bringing a kind of a better version of yourself that, you know, knows what you want and is in charge. I mean, we never know what's going to happen in life. And no matter how much you want things to be one way, like there's so much you can't control, but you can control your finances.
Yeah.
I think that translates into a mindset that, you know, makes you, you know, obviously secures your own future, but also makes you a better partner, you know, ultimately.
So. I think it, and that, like, you know, when you think about attachment theory too, it's, you know, like when you have the sense of independence about yourself, I think you are a more attractive partner and healthier because you're just, you're not really relying on like another person or an external force for that happiness.
Yes. You know, dependency is not love, right? And just that ability to always know, no matter what, at least in this aspect of your life, you're going to be okay. You know, no matter what happens, you know, externally, I think is, I mean, that's a gift in and of itself. So I think it takes such tremendous courage to do everything you've done, from, you know, what you shared, like being the primary caregiver for your husband and seeking out the resources health wise to extend his life. And then, you know, what you've done, I'm almost like tearing up here, but what you've done with Julie. So well, I think you should be incredibly proud of yourself.
Yeah. Well, and I wanted to share something too. So Sarah and I, we didn't have like a set schedule that we talked. So sometimes we would talk more, then we might go a gap of time, but there was only one call that I absolutely dreaded with Sarah. And it was the one where I knew I was going to tell her that my partner had been diagnosed with cancer.
No, it was hard.
It was, but I think we spent that entire call of you telling me what you had learned and emailing me resources and just like talking kind of through that. And my partner had a very, very different prognosis, but still I had known for a while, and we had talked one day when it was just kind of starting and I didn't know how bad it was. I'm like, I'm sure not going to bring it up today, but it was kind of like when we were in the thick of it, I think we were between chemo and surgery, when I was just like, guess what's going on, you know, like, and it was incredibly helpful. So it doesn't always happen that it's like full circle like that. But there was a total moment where we flipped the script for a while, and Sarah is like, okay, these are the resources that are super, super helpful, and just kind of gave me a ton of direction that I definitely needed at that time.
Oh, that's so sweet.
Well, you know, it's interesting because that's not uncommon, and as coaching relationships evolve, it can become mutual. You know what I mean? And I think there's this sometimes fear of financial planners or advisors and this dynamic of, you know, well, I need to know things to be able to even make a productive call, or, you know, or I need to have a certain amount of money, or, you know, it's like intimidation factor. It's like, no, all of our planners have lives and challenges, and they've been through things themselves, and they're not perfect with money because they're human, and no one is, right? And so, you know, I think there is something about that, that the best coaching relationships, it's balancing that expertise with that connection, right?
And like the authenticity as well. Like I was able to, you know, when you're like in my shoes, I was such a mess when I first started working with Julie, and, you know, I just immediately trusted her. And I think that's really important in coaching relationships. It's like someone, especially when it comes to, you know, asking for financial advice, right? Like it's kind of a scary thing if you don't have much experience in it. And yeah, I just immediately knew I could trust Julie. And when she went through the cancer scare too, it was obviously horrible, but I'm just glad that I was able to be there for her and like share her some of the things that I had learned in my journey as well.
Well, I think you shared some of the same like empowering things that came back, you know, just when it talks about the products that we use, the food that we eat, like what we are subjecting ourselves through. You know, those were things I had heard about, read a little bit about. Sarah had already done extensive research and spent extensive time looking into that. So some of the things that she sent me while I was like baby stepping into these things, just, it was like empowering for me as well of like, I don't need to be afraid of the whole world. I remember the day that you said, we all have cancer in some form living in our bodies. Like we all have it. And like, just knowing it's there and like, you know, really knowing we can take serious steps towards like containing that. So like I said, it was empowering for me after you shared some of the research that you had.
I love that. Another big thing I learned through, because I worked with, you know, a ton of the leading experts across integrative health through cancer for both myself getting through end of life and then grief and for him. But, you know, I think having financial stress, like that causes cancer, you know, that causes disease. Yeah. Being able to have a relief through support, like you guys, I think is really important. And I know Meta recently, there was like a new benefit caregiving support. You know, that's a new kind of area that's becoming, people are talking about a lot, is just how challenging it is to caregive for people through diseases and end of life, and just having the, you know, financial support, you know, at least feel good on that side of things while you're going through caregiving, I think is huge.
Well, thank you so much for sharing your story. Any last, you know, words of wisdom or pieces of advice you have for anyone out there that may be listening?
I think, you know, financial wellness is just something that I had to learn hard way through my journey and experience. But I think it's something that, you know, especially as women, we can take ownership on and, you know, really not being intimidated to look into investing and understanding stock options and like angel investing. You know, there's so many amazing resources out there, and just, you know, being mindful on spending is something that I think can just help anyone with their emotional wellness. I'm so grateful for you guys.
Oh, thank you. So I'm taking that as, you know, don't be afraid to pick up the phone, you know, and I think I would echo this. This is something I think we all are challenged by, you know, at different points in our life, whether it's a decision that's stressful or we're in a stressful situation, or it's, I mean, just like you take care of your physical wellness, you take care of your mental wellness, you got to take care of your financial wellness. And there's no, you know, absolutely no shame in that at all. In fact, that is the situation we're in today, is no one's going to do it for us, right?
Exactly. You
know, so lean in and just know that no matter what situation you're in, you can make your life better, you know, at least in this aspect. So
100%.
Thank you again. And thank you, Julie, for joining us.
Absolutely.
As well. All right. We'll see you at the next episode.
All right. Thanks, thank ladies. You.
Thanks for listening to the Financial Wellness at Work podcast from Financial Finesse. Join us next time for more stories, inspiration, and tips on transforming your financial life and future.